there are a lot of camping newbies heading to our national parks and federal lands. And those camping newbies, they are trashing the place.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 330 of the RV Podcast. And we have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about all the damage being done to our national parks and our federal lands by all these newbie campers out there. It is a mess, a serious mess, much more than an inconvenience, more of a crisis. We'll talk about that in our interview of the week coming up. We also have a great Off the Beaten Path report, your questions, and much, much more as the RV Podcast episode 330 gets underway with my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, my Michael.
Well, we're home. It's been another crazy month of travel for us, hasn't it?
It has, but it was good. It was all good.
Even the snowstorm coming home over the weekend?
Well, I wasn't driving.
Well, I was.
Sorry that you had to drive in bad weather.
You know, it was, as I said, we spent a couple of nights with our son, Scott, and our daughter, Lori, and our grandson, Jacob, in Nashville, Tennessee over the weekend. And they said, oh, stay, there's a big snowstorm coming. And I said, you know, it'll give me a good experience to see how this new RV that we have on the Ford Transit chassis with all-wheel drive, see how that works. And it handled great.
It seemed to handle great.
You know, we had just about every kind of weather that nature could throw at you. We had a lot of rain. We had fog. We had a little area of freezing rain. And we had a pretty darn good snowstorm that came through the state of Ohio. Basically, the whole state was getting hit as we drove through on Sunday. But it was just fine. The unit handled well. Lots of truck traffic. And, you know, you always worry when it's slippery of truck trafficking and you get a little buffeted whether that would cause anything. But I was very impressed with the way the unit handled. And we ended up doing our Sunday night Ask Us Anything YouTube show. And by the way, I hope you all know that. All you podcast folks know that every Sunday night we do a live show, 7 p.m. on YouTube, on the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. And we did it from a rest area along I-75. It was so nice and cozy there. It was a great place to spend the night out of the storm. So,
we could have.
Yeah, we had a great time. So that was that trip. We have been down in Florida and through a number of other states and just taking it easy and getting out of the snow and ice. And now we're back in the snow and ice. And I think we're here for a couple, 3 weeks, right?
Correct.
Hey, the big news for us is our ninth book in our 7-day adventure guide series is about to be released. It is, we're really excited about it. It's a perfect time for it. It's a book about Arizona. It's a 7-day adventure guide to Arizona, and it joins the other 8 titles we have about other regions of the country. We've got it ready to go. It will be coming out sometime in the next several days. So,
woo-hoo!
Yeah, I am really excited about this. That was so much fun getting that book together and doing some travel in Arizona. And I know a lot of people are there right now. This is like the perfect time to be in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that book is coming, and to celebrate it, we're going to really cut the prices on a couple of bundles, 3 book bundles, where you can get, you know, kind of a region of the country. And we'll have lots of specials, and we're all excited. So if you want to make sure you have it, make sure you're on our RV Lifestyle community mailing list. You can sign up on our website, rvlifestyle.com. Top right-hand side, there's a thing. Join right there. You get the newsletter every Monday free with lots of exclusive stuff and perks and tips. And, of course, you'll get notice of our new ebook on Arizona, which is coming out in the next couple of days. So I'm pretty excited about that.
And so am I.
Bo is pretty excited about being home in the snow.
Oh, he's thrilled about being home in the snow.
Yeah, he is. So we have a lot to come up with for you on this episode. Coming up in a bit is that interview we talked about. We're going to talk to the superintendent of the pictured Rock's National Lakeshore, one of the most beautiful, pristine hunks of waterfront in all of North America, along the south shore of Lake Superior in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And like all sorts of places around the country, they have been inundated with camping newbies and a lot of daytime visitors. Just, it's just this incredible surge. All of our national parks are under a great deal of stress right now.
They are bursting at the seams.
And with that comes every possible problem you can imagine. But all of that compounded by the fact that, well, the attendance at all these national parks has skyrocketed. I mean, just through the roof. The staffing and the infrastructure have not even begun to take place and to keep up with the growth. So I think you'll find this a very interesting interview coming up. We got a great question of the week about somebody wanting to make sure they have the right road service. And the Burkitts later on will take us along a stretch of the Ohio River, and we'll learn about canal life. And that's a fun report coming up, but lots more. And we'll get to the news of the week for you in just a minute, because there's lots of news. But I want to tell you that this part of the podcast is brought to you by Camping World. They are America's number one RV dealer. And with so many in-person RV shows around the country canceled this year, a lot of people are wondering, what is the best way to safely see and buy an RV during a pandemic? Well, Camping World has solved that with their Ultimate RV Show. It's going on right now, a national tour going coast to coast, bringing you the biggest virtual RV show ever. They've been going now for several weeks, and they will be doing this right through March 6th. You can tune in each week on all of the social media channels for Camping World. You get discounts on hundreds of RVs that are shoppable right now from your couch. You can buy your coach in your couch. Anyway, lots of RV deals. They'll be offering RV walkthroughs, tons of RV retail specials as well. So head over to ultimatervshow.com. Again, that is ultimatervshow.com. You can register for free and make sure you get reminders. We hope you're able to tap into this and check out the ultimatervshow.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
In the 40-plus executive orders the Biden administration signed during his first few days in office is one many environmental advocates are watching carefully, the 30 by 30 plan. This plan commits to conserving 30% of all U.S. land and 30% of all U.S. ocean areas by 2030. Right now, about 12% of the country's land is publicly protected, according to one report I saw. This gigantic conservation effort is causing concern among some industries, like the commercial fishing lobby, as it would drastically affect their business. But it is also drawing praise from some outdoor recreation groups, like the Outdoor Industry Association, as they see it as a way to increase land for public use. How exactly this goal would happen is not clear yet, but expect to hear much more over the next 4 years.
Well, in California, many state and federal campgrounds are open, and that is a pretty good news. That is actually ending a long time that they have all been closed, and we're really pretty excited about it. There was a camping ban in effect for about 2 months as part of California's efforts to curb the spread of COVID-19. That's been lifted. Some campgrounds, however, are phasing in their opening based on their community's COVID precautions, and the campgrounds are banning group camping, implementing many social distancing and mask requirements that campers should check before heading out. But the good news is that most of the state and federal campgrounds are open, and they're gradually getting back to normal.
Speaking of California, did you see the video of Highway 1, a section of the famous highway that hugs the California coast, crumbled into the Pacific Ocean last week during a heavy rainstorm. The landslide happened about 15 miles south of Big Sur, near the Pfeiffer Big Sur State Park, and it is not clear how long the famous road will be closed. A section of the highway fell into the ocean in 2017, and it took a little over a year for the road to open again. Many RVers place a trip down Highway 1 on their bucket list, and for good reason. The area is breathtakingly beautiful.
It is. It really is a beautiful area. And while we're talking about California, there's another thing in California that's in the news this week. Fewer people are going to be able to see something that happens every year at Yosemite National Park called the Firefall. Now, I don't know if you have heard what the Firefall is all about, but it's a pretty amazing thing. And the reason there's fewer people going to see it is they're trying to reduce crowding, so they're limiting the numbers that can come for the Fireball. And if you're not aware of it, it's a term used to describe an annual event when the glow of the setting sun on the famous Horsetail Fall makes it look like the waterfall is literally on fire. So this year, reservations are going to be required in an attempt to reduce crowding. The exact dates when this optical illusion is expected to occur are unclear, but usually it happens in mid to late February. So it's coming up very soon. But if you're planning on seeing that, make sure you check out, go to Yosemite's National Parks website and check it out, because they're going to have to kind of keep the social distancing rules and not allow quite as many people in there as they usually do.
Visiting a Minnesota state park may soon get more expensive. The Minnesota governor is seeking to raise the daily entrance fee from $7 to $10 and the cost of an annual pass from $35 to $45. The price hike would bring in $2.6 million and is needed to fix a hole in the budget. Minnesota just raised the cost of visiting its parks in 2018, with daily entrance fees climbing from $5 to $7 and the annual permit from $25 to $35. Minnesota saw visitors to its state parks rise by about 25% in 2020, a pandemic trend in many state parks throughout the country.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping. Rad Power Bikes are built for everything, and they're priced for everybody. They offer a series of different e-bike models. You can get fat-tired bikes. You can get mountain bike style, beach cruiser style. Jennifer has the step-through version of their city bike. I have the city bike model. The difference between the step through and the other one is, you know, the one I have is kind of like the old boys bike where you got to swing your leg over the crossbar. Well, the new step through model, which everybody is buying, is so easy. You just literally step through. But there's so many different models. They even have a collapsible one. If you have limited storage space and want to take it in your RV, all the Rad Power bikes can go 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle or utilize a whole bunch of different levels of pedal assist, whatever you feel is needed for that added boost. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And Rad Power bikes are priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markup chain is cut out. If you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, they will give you an additional $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping on all their bike models. Use the coupon code RV Lifestyle for an additional $75. Just go to radpowerbikes.com. That's radpowerbikes.com.
Questions?
You've got them.
Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our questions of the week.
Okay, interesting topic this week. We get a lot of people asking about this, and it's very interesting because we had two back-to-back come in on our special RV podcast voicemail question for the podcast. And here's one from Bob and Trudy.
Hi, Mike. Bob and Trudy in California. Our first adventure on an RV is that we've got a new rig on order from Winnebago, a Winnebago Bolt. And so we'll be brand new for RV usage on that, but it takes about 8 months to get it approved or built. And my question to you is, I want to find out the information from your podcast today on who to use for service when you're on the road. That's going to be primarily something I'm really concerned about, is if you have to get service on the road, who do you use, who do you recommend? If you recommend a service to sign up for, you know, like Good Neighbor Sam, whatever, who would you recommend to use? This will be our first venture on traveling in an RV, and we're not youngsters anymore, so we're trying to get an idea on service on the road.
Well,
Bob and Trudy in California.
Thank you, Bob and Trudy.
Thank you.
That is a great question, and we get it a lot. I don't even know where to start on that. First of all, check with Winnebago. Many manufacturers, for example, we have a leisure travel van, and ours includes it. I know we used to have Road Treks, and they included it. Many manufacturers include a year or two, depends on how generous they are, of free road service for new customers when you buy a new RV. So you may already have that covered when you buy Winnebago. Check with your dealer. They will let you know if that is included. But many dealers and many RVers do. The next source that many people use is their insurance, their RV insurance. Many programs have special packages for road service at very reasonable rates, and I would urge you to look at that. There are big commercial services like CoachNet. CoachNet is probably the biggest of them all, and it is used by many dealers, many manufacturers, and CoachNet has individual plans that you can buy as an individual customer too. And then there is Good Sam. We have been members of Good Sam. My goodness, when did we start? I think for most of the 8 years that we've been RVing. It'll be 9 years next month. For most of the 9 years, we've been Good Sam members. I think we've called them a couple of times. And one of the things that's nice about it is it's also there for your passenger vehicle. As long as you have it, they'll come and service your passenger vehicle. They'll come out and give you a tow or a jump start. We have used it for a jump start. We've used it. I'm trying to think what else. But it's just peace of mind. And so we've had that. The podcast episode that Bob heard about, that we talked about, was last week's episode 339, where we talked with a new service called RescueMyRV.com. And that is that will dispatch you a wrecker, but you don't get anything free with that. You have to pay. What you get is you get RV experienced wreckers, or if you need some work done on your RV, like a slide is stuck, they'll send somebody that can fix it. But you still have to pay that technician or that tow truck driver. But still, they vet their people and make sure they're familiar with towing an RV, and then they have mobile techs who they can supply. And that's called RescueMyRV.com. We talked about them last week. So those are some of the options that are out there. And I would start with checking with Winnebago, since that new Bolt you have is one of their high-end Class C, or I think it's a Class B, one of their high-end Class B RVs. I would be surprised if they didn't throw in some sort of road service for at least your first year. Now, we got that question from Bob and Trudy, and then just about a day later, this question came in, and this is more of a comment and a testimonial about somebody who had to actually use road service. And it's a great example of when you need it and how important it is to have. And this is Steve.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. I want to thank you all for what you do for the RV community. I've watched all of your videos, and I'm even a patron. And I really appreciate everything that you do for us. I want to tell you my story. And I was hoping that you could reach out to the RV community with your influence and spread the word about a wonderful service that Good Sam Roadside Service did for me. I had just left Quartzsite a couple of days ago and was driving home to the San Francisco Bay Area and was on my way through Slab City and the Salton Sea, headed for Joshua Tree National Park. While I arrived at Bombay Beach on the Salton Sea, one afternoon, I heard this loud bang, and then my Lazy Days E450 Triton V10 sounded like a drag racer with a pop, 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 pop noise coming as if it was coming from the exhaust. I knew at that time that my V10 had succumbed to the flaw that's known to happen for the Ford V10s, that I had blown a spark plug. I called Good Sam, and they were amazingly polite and efficient and quick to arrange for this large 18-wheeler to flatbed tow truck to show up. And they kept calling me and asking if it was there yet, telling me that they had made contact and that they were going to tow me to the nearest Ford dealership, which was in Indio on my way home. They continued to reach out. Are you okay? Are you safe? Has it come there yet? They're on their way. And they just stayed in contact continually, making sure that I was okay, that I was safe, and reassuring me as to where the tow truck was. When the tow truck came, they said that it was there, and they asked that I call them and let them know if there's anything else they can do. They stayed in contact with me all the way until I was delivered safely at the Ford dealership in Indio, California. And after that, they said, are you comfortable and are you safe? So I was amazed at the follow-up and the true concern for my well-being and the fact that my RV was delivered properly. And it was a wonderful service, and I can highly recommend Good Sam's Roadside Service. Thanks, Mike and Jennifer, for all you do, and thanks to Good Sam for their wonderful, wonderful service. Thanks. This is Steve. Bye.
Now, that was totally unsolicited.
Right.
And I love hearing stories like that. If you have a story like that about good service that you receive from a dealer or a manufacturer, or in that case, in Steve's case, from somebody who provides road service, is this the Good Sam Club? Let us know, because we hear so many negative
things.
People
are quick to complain, and you know, they're angry, they're rightly so, looking for a platform, but this is encouraging to hear, encouraging words.
And, you know, that's how a company succeeds, Steve, by giving people service like that, by truly caring about them and getting service. And that's very encouraging to us. It's particularly encouraging to us because we have Good Sam. And should that happen to us, it's good to know that, I was going to say, it's good to know that we're in good hands, but that's an insurance company. We won't say that. It's good to know that we've got Good Sam as well. I guess I'll say that. But I appreciate you sharing that with us. Bob and Trudy, you can listen to Steve's testimonial there and make up your mind, too, as you shop for your road service. But we do think that everyone needs to have road service when you're out there. You just need that peace of mind.
Yes.
And they'll come. They'll fix your tires. They'll replace tires. They can get you towed someplace. You know, and it's a crazy world out there, and it's nice to know
and
that
somebody
cares. You
never know when a pothole is going to eat up a tire.
Yeah, or in your case, an alligator.
That's right. I forgot about the alligators.
Yeah, Jennifer lost a tire because of an alligator. Now everybody's wondering. They're scratching their head. You know what an alligator is? They called those big hunks of retread that the 18-wheelers shed, and they kind of line our freeways. Mostly you see them in the summer when the road's hot and the tires get hot, and they blow in the retread. Is just, you know, all big hunks of it. They call those alligators, and we ran into one of those once. And we didn't need to call road service. You kind of carefully, it did damage the tire. It was going flat, and we were able to get off the road and pull right off the exit into a repair facility. So that was...
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. I was just thinking about the pothole where I wrecked a tire and had to drive in with a flat.
Yep. Yeah, so we've had that.
Geez, I have bad luck when I'm driving.
Yeah, that's why I don't let you drive. hey, do you have a question, a comment, a testimonial, something that you want to share about your RV lifestyle? Well, here's how to do it.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number. 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
And this part of the RV podcast is brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and very reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. Get in touch with Battleborn. They'll tell you what kind you need. They are good at helping you upgrade your entire energy management system. I don't care what kind of an RV you have, how old it is. They have different models of 12-volt lithium deep cycle models that will literally drop into any size travel trailer or motorized RV. We have two of them in our RV, and as I said, we were broadcasting our YouTube Ask Us Anything show from the road in the middle of a big, cold, windy snowstorm in Ohio on Sunday night. And I think the first question we got is, are you guys running off your lithium batteries? Mm-hmm. And we were. Ours now have heaters. You can now order lithium batteries with heaters that'll keep them running and working just fine in cold weather. Battleborn battery experts, they know every kind of RV out there. They can help you with the right cabling, inverter, charger. They can recommend who to have install it if it's something that you don't want to try and do yourself. As I say, Jennifer and I have had Battleborns in our RV for a couple of years now, and we rely on it for our boondocking adventures. That lets us get out there. It lets us stay out there. There's so much more efficient. They charge faster. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting, maintenance-free, much, much improved over the standard AGM batteries. Get out there. Stay out there. Try them. Go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
All right. This week, we want to talk about the stress that is being placed on our national parks and our public lands by a lot of people who are desperate to escape lockdowns, travel restrictions from the COVID pandemic. And as a result, hundreds of thousands of camping newbies are flocking to our federal lands, many of them ignorantly, some of them intentionally causing damage to our national parks and federal lands. This is a nationwide problem, and it is unprecedented in scope, as you'll hear in just a minute. And that's what we're going to talk about this week in our interview of the week. We're going to talk with the superintendent of one of our most pristine hunks of federal wilderness, the beautiful Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore along Lake Superior in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Our guest is David Horn. And David has worked for the National Park Service for more than a quarter century. He took over running the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore in 2018. He is a graduate of Humboldt State University in Northern California, has a bachelor's degree in biology. He spent 4 years in the U.S. Coast Guard, stationed primarily in Kodiak, Alaska. His career with the National Park Service began at the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area in natural resource management. He then joined the ranks of visitor and resource protection, working at the Sequoia and Kings Canyon, Big Bend, Yosemite, and Pinnacles National Parks, as well as the Lake Mead National Recreation Area in the Intermountain Regional Office. He's, as I said, been the superintendent of the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore since 2018. He loves this park, as is evident in this interview, and he has some great suggestions for all of us on how we can help cope with this migration of so many newbies into our national parks and federal land. Joining us right now to talk about this is David Horn. He is the superintendent of the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore up near Munising, Michigan, in the beautiful snow-covered Michigan Upper Peninsula right now. David, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Well, thanks a lot. My pleasure.
So let's talk about last year. We have seen all of the stories. We've actually encountered, as we've traveled, some of the congestion. But help our listeners understand exactly how crazy it really got out there, as so many people locked down, looking for a place to vacation, said, let's try camping and RVing.
That's a great question. So for the last 5 years, every year has been a record. And I don't want to pepper you with a bunch of stats, but in the last 10 years, We've had a 143% increase, which is, you know, a huge increase for us. We have the same infrastructure that we did 10 years ago, same budget. So it really had an impact. But last year we had 860,000 visitors. In 2020, the preliminary number we're getting is 1.2 million. So it was a huge jump in 1 year from 2019 to 2020. So, unfortunately the actual resource, the park, took a little bit of a hit. Just that many people, just our parking lots, our infrastructure, the restrooms, trails, roads, we're literally not made for that level of visitation and that many people. So, you know, we got through it. A lot of people came, a lot of people had fun, but it was definitely the most crowded the park has ever been in the history of it.
Now, many of those people, if we're to believe what we're hearing from elsewhere, were new people who maybe have never really done a lot of camping or haven't been real active in terms of visiting national parks and national lake shores like Pictured Rocks. Was that your experience? Did you find a lot of new people who maybe are trying something for the first time?
That was our experience. We don't really keep hard data on that, but just anecdotally, you know, it's easy to look on a map and say, oh, it's 3 miles in, there's the trail, you just walk in. So, those are mountain miles. So they're tougher when you're actually walking with equipment. So our staff actually picked up a lot of equipment. People hiked in to backcountry sites with ice chests and, mattresses, giant tents, and just many people actually just abandoned that in the backcountry. So we cleaned up a lot of that. And that's just based on an experience. Those miles look easy on paper. And when you start actually walking them, it's a lot tougher. So, I think we did. It's fair to say we had a lot of first time visitors and first time park users.
That is, I'm kind of laughing at that because I can just picture somebody walking through the woods carrying a chest thinking, oh, it's only a quarter inch on the map, you know.
Right, right. Exactly.
But the problems have been pretty severe. Maybe you could help enlighten everyone about what kind of problems you saw besides people just leaving stuff that was too heavy to carry back. This really stressed our lands, and I think it has to make us wonder about the sustainability of this kind of growth on our national lands like this.
It is really fast growth. Last year with COVID, we were thinking it's not going to be a big year, but it was a 41% increase. It was a huge year for us. People are speculating that, you know, you couldn't fly, but you could drive here, so that was probably a big part of it. But there was some real measurable impacts. Our trails got widened. The most popular trails, you know, just by the volume of people walking on them, were widened. A lot of social trails. Social trails they're not trails until a few people walk off trail. It starts to look like one. Then attracts more people and essentially turns it into trails. So we had a huge increase in social trails. And they're tough to rehabilitate and get it back to the natural condition after that happens. A lot of illegal camping that isn't in a campsite. And the reason we have campsites is we limit the damage. Camping, you know, we want people to come in here and enjoy the park, but we also want to try to keep it as pristine and as much of a wilderness experience as it can be. So when you have a lot of people creating new sites, it just, you know, it denudes the foliage and it just makes it look like a campsite, which draws more campers. So there was a lot of physical effects of that, of the increased visitation this year.
And the parking lots, there's not a lot of room in parking lots. And, you know, you bring in trailers and motor homes and fifth wheels and all of this stuff. How did you handle all that with the parking?
That's another great question. Part of it, we just kind of got through it. You know, it's really difficult to manage. You know, the Chapel Trailhead is one of our most popular trailheads, and the parking lot has a 57 vehicle lot in there, And that typically fills up first thing in the morning, and then people are parked along the road. And, you know, essentially by the afternoon, hiking an extra mile along the road to get to the, just to get to the trailhead. So all that parking along the road, the congestion, it really became a problem. There was a couple instances where we couldn't even get emergency vehicles down there when people were needing help. So, you know, we're trying some creative strategies to try to manage that in the future. But, yeah, these parking lots were designed and built many, many years ago, and the park was not engineered to hold 1.2 million people in a year.
We've read stories about human waste being found and just causing problems all over our federal lands. Did you encounter that as well? You know, I mean, people are out in the middle of places they shouldn't be and camping where they shouldn't. I would imagine that is also a problem.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We end up talking about human waste removal quite a bit in the park. It's a major management challenge just to manage that, the waste in our backcountry sites. They're remote, many of them. So, you know, we're trying to come up with creative solutions there. And this is a park-wide issue as well, too. You can Google all kinds of stories on that, where there's parks that gather it and fly it out with helicopters and, you know, things like that. So we are trying to tackle that. We're coming up with different, you know, vault toilet, pit toilet designs, that kind of thing. But yeah, it was a huge issue. You know, our backcountry pit toilets are filling up. Usually they last several years. You know, after 1 or 2 years, we fill them up and have to move them now. So we're trying to come up with alternatives for that.
Now, this was, of course, the year of the RV, the year of camping, they said, of 2020. And all the indications are that 2021 is going to be just as busy. You're mostly shut down, although there are still places that you can get in. Are you noticing, even in the winter, more people up there? Or has that, I know the UP can get pretty snowbound, but are you still seeing people up there now? And what's the expectation for once the snow melts and the seasons start again?
Well, we don't see any reason why the visitation is going to decrease dramatically. I mean, we're basically expecting the same levels of crowds. We still have COVID going on. I think it's going to be a repeat of the same situation. Just to clarify, too, we never close. I mean, we're always open, but we don't plow some of the roads. So technically, you can still camp at our campsites. You just can't drive to most of them now, or all of them, actually. And, you can snowmobile in. You ski in, you know, things like that. But yeah, we have most of our, by far, the far majority of our visitation is during the summer months.
So what happens in 2021? What do you don't have any increase in budget. You don't really have any increase in personnel. You've got a massive increase in visitors. What are some of the solutions that you guys will be doing at the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore? And then, what kind of things can we suggest to our listeners that they do to make your job a little bit easier, but most importantly, to keep our parks clean and pristine?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. We don't have more people coming in. We don't have more budget for this year. The service is really trying to catch up to this. But so on one hand, we're just going to try to get through it again. You know, we prioritize which work we have to do, and, you know, we dramatically increase the rate of picking up trash and removing trash out of the trash cans in the park, in the campsites, things like that. This kind of outreach that you're doing is fantastic as well, too, because we really want to get the word out there of leave no trace, you know, take care of this like it's your own land, which it is. This is the People's Park, the National Park Service is. So when we come here, just take care of it. You know, pick up your own trash, but also pick up other people's too. That's always very helpful. And just follow our rules. We try to establish rules that will maintain the wilderness feel of the place. So have fires only where there's fires allowed, camp only where there's camping allowed. We have a reservation system. If you can't get a reservation, you know, there's other options for camping around here, but, you know, please just don't make your own campsite. So those kind of things would be really helpful.
Well, we will pass all of this along, and in our show notes, we'll link to the Leave No Trace movement. We've got lots of resources on that. And you are one of my absolute favorite places in all of North America, and I almost hate to talk about it because I don't want to bring more people up there.
No, that's great. No, it's beautiful. It really is a wonderful place. I hope I didn't make it sound like it's just overrun. It's still just a fantastic experience.
No, but we want to sustain it. We want it to stay that way, and we want to make your job as easy as possible. And all the awesome folks out there who work for the National Park Service, we're on your side, David Horn, and we want to thank you for helping us understand the challenges that you faced this past year, that you'll be facing this year. And most importantly, I hope we have convinced our audience to take some responsibility. Go out there and enjoy it, but be responsible. David Horn, you've been a great guest. Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
One of our absolute favorite places. We were there, I think, two or three times this past year.
Yeah, right? We hit it a couple times, but 1.2 million people.
Yeah. Up until 2015, it averaged about, not quite, a half a million. So, and then every year since 2015, it has they've set a record, but 1.2 million. Nobody saw that one coming. And it is a beautiful area. It's you know, one of the things that they have is over 100 miles of hiking trails along the hilly shoreline of Lake Superior. It's just a spectacular place.
You can kayak, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, most beautiful. The picture rocks. You can go into Munising and you can take a boat. It'll come right alongside of them. That's great. But we noticed it. We noticed one of the parking lots, somebody actually smashed into our RV and knocked off a little light that we had on the side of ours.
Yeah, somebody had a hit and run.
And it was very difficult to maneuver around some of them. So many people. But the biggest problem has been those newbie campers carrying in their ice chests to walk across country to a trail that's, you know, 2-3 miles away, and they don't realize going up and down how hard of a walk that can be. So,
and they might not have totally checked out how many people can camp in the middle of nowhere and making reservations. And
you do need a permit for backcountry camping. They give them to you, but you need them. And I think the best advice that he gave us is that this is our responsibility too. These are our parks.
Right.
That's our park. We have a responsibility, and don't just clean up your stuff. If you see somebody else making a mess, clean it up. It's not gonna hurt. Hats off to David Horn, all the great men and women who work for the National Park Service at one of the most beautiful places that we know, the Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore on the southern end of Lake Superior. The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Sunshine State RVs has the largest selection of small motorhomes, I think, that you'll find just about anywhere these days. They have a full line of new RVs from the likes of Winnebago. They have the Travato and the Era. They have the Coachman, the Galleria, the Beyond. They have the American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC. Lots of brand new small motorhomes. And if you're looking for a used one, they probably have the largest used inventory of just about any dealer in North America. In stock, previously owned RVs ranging from the early 90s to the current year, everything in between, from the most popular small motorhome brands like Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, Coachman, Road Trek, and more. I don't think you'll find a wider selection of used RVs anywhere else. And every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. Jen and I know Nick and his crew at Sunshine State RVs. Just check them out. You can go to their website, or you can visit them in Gainesville if you're in Florida now. But go to SunshineStateRVs.com for a start. You can look at their used inventory, their new inventory, and then you can give Nick a call and arrange even a video tour, if you want, of a certain model. Sunshine State RVs.com. Check them out.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Time now for our regular Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett. One of the things I love about these guys is they have never found a museum along the way that they don't stop and visit.
It's great that they do that for all the rest of us.
And they have taught us, when you see a sign that says museum, stop, because it's always worthwhile. As it was on this trip, as they learned about locks, not the kind that you have with a padlock with, but locks along the canals that are along the Ohio River Scenic Byway. Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. Lock up, lock down. These are phrases we're all familiar with. Two or three generations ago, they were familiar too, but often meant something entirely different. That was the time period when lots of people and goods moved across and around the eastern part of the USA on canals. Most canals have one end higher than the other, and though they may move imperceptibly slowly, they wouldn't be navigable for two-way traffic were it not for locks. In addition to dealing with elevation changes, locks sometimes help navigators conquer the occasional rapids or other difficult terrain.
To understand how locks work, there's no better place than the Cuyahoga National Park in northeastern Ohio, where there are detailed models in the visitor centers, and you can actually operate the real lock just outside the front door. For a boatside view, paddle your canoe or kayak along the Erie Canal in New York and ask the keeper to lock you through one of the 50-plus locks along the way. For a special treat, either to boat or to watch, stop in Lockport, New York, where the original flight of five-stepped locks still operates next to a more modern barge lock.
If you've been to the Sioux Locks in Michigan or the Eisenhower Lock in New York, you may have seen huge ocean-going ships moving in and out of them, sometimes with just inches to spare along the sides. Big inland rivers like the Ohio see mostly barge traffic, and though the barges aren't as large as those big container ships, they're still impressive. Most of the dangerous-to-operate wicket locks have been replaced, but you can watch a video of one being closed.
Lock keepers had an interesting life. They were tied necessarily to their locks, where a boat might come along at any time and ask for service. At the same time, they spent the long minutes or hours waiting for the lock to cycle in conversation with the ship captains, who had lots of stories about far-off exotic places. Stan Rogers, the great Canadian songwriter, captured the dichotomy movingly in a song.
When you travel the beautiful Ohio River Scenic Byway, you'll pass through a little town called Shiloh, spelled C-H-I-L-O. We don't know why the name's pronounced this way, but we do know another town in Ohio near Coshocton that's spelled C-H-I-L-I and pronounced Chili. It's the only settlement in a fairly large geographic area with no big towns and no restaurants. The church there has a pizza night a couple of times a month, and folks travel from miles around for dinner out and a chance to socialize.
At any rate, Shiloh was for many years home to Lock 34. The lock, a wicket lock, had to be regularly serviced by divers who descended into the river wearing outfits that looked like something from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. The old lock building is now a museum with three floors of nicely curated displays about river life and history. Just outside the museum is a concrete stairway going down into the river, marked with depths along one side. It's easy to imagine one of those suited divers descending into the river. Easy, too, to imagine what it might have been like for that apocryphal diver who walked down them one stormy spring day and became untethered from his air and safety lines. Legend says you can see his helmet light pass by the bottom of the stairs on a still spring night.
Overnight parking is not permitted at the Lock 34 Park, except by permission. We weren't intending to stay the night, so we didn't ask. But our experience in all these river towns is that if you simply ask a police officer or a business owner where you might spend the night, you'll be directed to a safe and pleasant spot, often on the river, where you can watch for mysterious underwater lights out here off the beaten path.
You know, we found the same thing as we travel. If you stop and ask the police, they'll be glad to help you out. And what did we do that the first time? It was in Nebraska for Popcorn Days, and they they put us in a downtown park. It was awesome.
Yeah, so it's very nice.
And we have done that since then. Just try it. If you're in a little tiny small town, and there's no RV campground around, just go to the local police department and say, "Hey, we're self-contained. We don't need anything. Where can we park?" And we have never had anybody say, "Well, you got to go to the next town." They all, in fact, they'll even keep an eye on you as they send their patrol cars around. Make sure everybody's safe and sound. Anyway, another great thing about small towns. And thanks. That was Shiloh. I wrote the name of it because it's spelled like it would be pronounced Cilio, but it's Shiloh is how it's pronounced. So learning something new every time from our friends, the Burkitts. You hear them every Wednesday on the RV Podcast.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, there are three that we have to talk about this week. I know most of the, this is usually it's like 25 that I'd be announcing all over the country. But most places, RV shows are canceled. That's why Camping World's doing their ultimate RV show online. And I know our friends up in New England, the New England dealers are going to be doing an online show in April. But we have some in-person ones for you, at least three of them here to talk about now, and two in Florida. Let's start February 11th through the 14th at the Jacksonville Equestrian Center in Jacksonville, Florida. It is the Jacksonville RV Mega Show, February 11th through the 14th. February 18th through the 21st, it's the South Florida Fairgrounds in West Palm Beach, Florida for the West Palm RV Show. That's the 18th through the 21st. And then the 19th through the 21st, it's the 2021 Alabama RV Super Show at the Van Braun Center in South Hall, Huntsville, Alabama. The big Alabama RV Show, that's February 19th through the 21st.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, thank you guys so much. New podcast every Wednesday. Don't forget new content on the RV Lifestyle Travel Blog every week. Look for our brand new Arizona 7-Day Adventure Guide. That's coming up. We got lots of stuff happening.
Pretty exciting.
Hey, everybody, till we see you again, be careful out there.
And happy trails.